Well, good morning. I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And Dom asked me, he said, can you just share a few things about the fifth quarter? As you already heard through his prayer that we had 59 students here, and it was an amazing time. We took some video, so hopefully you can see this, and just to kind of get a glimpse of what things are going on here at Hope during on a Friday night fifth quarter. Oh, we got it. Awesome. But downstairs, there's ping pong, foosball, there's Xbox, there's PS3, all kinds of things for the kids to do, board games, card games, and it was just an amazing time. So thanks again for those of you who volunteered. Thank you, Dave, for helping and getting this stage all put up. And then also, it was really cool. Bob Maddox made cookies, a whole bunch of cookies, and for the kids. And then we have a family here, the Morente family, that he works for Sonic, and they had Sonic donated this past weekend. And if you want to see kids turn into vultures, just bring food out. It was an incredible time. So our prayer is that we're going to be able to do another one on November 8th because they have homecoming and there's some away games. But just keep praying for that as we reach out to the community. And the second thing is if you just feel that you want to be a part of some chaos for about an hour and a half, come on over. That would be great. And so what we want to do today is we want to get back into our series called For the Honor, where we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 6 through chapter 8. And we began our series last month where we said we live out what we believe because of what Christ has done for us. That's the whole theme of our series here, For the Honor. Now, when George taught a couple weeks ago, what we learned was that we either give ourselves to God or we give ourselves to a substitute for God. And it is by God's grace that He gives us the desire to live for Him. And that's what we learned. Last week, we had an incredible morning with our students, and we were challenged to get out the boat. And realizing that those of us who follow Jesus Christ, we are a child of the one true King, and that's where our identity lies. And so this morning, I want to share a personal story with you. Growing up, I grew up in church, and so I had a friend, and this friend was... his parents were friends with my parents as we grew up. Now, as we got older and we went on to high school and moved on with our lives, we were separated. And there was a time back in January of 1996 where my brother called me. And he said, hey, this is something you might want to know, but your friend is on TV. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And he's like, no, it's not. And there was this hush. And I was like, okay, so what's going on? And he said, he's on television because he confessed to murder. And I was like, you're kidding. He said, I'm not kidding. And so the months went on, the trial went on, and to find out he was given life after life after life sentence. And so my wife and I and a couple friends of ours, we went to go visit him at a maximum security prison in New Jersey. And I remember going in, and so we got into the parking lot, and then we walked into this trailer, and there's like mounds and masses of people, and you had to go in and you had to turn in your identification and show who you were, who you're going to see. And then they herded us like cattle down this path, and then we come to this huge gate, and the gate had to have been about 12 feet high and maybe about 2 feet thick, and the doors open up really slow. And so, you know, I'm already nervous as it is, and you don't know what to expect. Like, I've never been to a maximum security prison, like, by my choosing. So the doors open, and we all go in. And then as we're going in, all of a sudden, people are being pulled out to be searched again. Well, I was a fortunate one to be searched again. And let me tell you, you don't want to know how that went, but it wasn't nice. And so once we got into this main cafeteria, there's all these guards around the perimeter of the room. And then there's this big whistle that blew, and all of a sudden the inmates come from behind like these tarps that were hanging up like we have downstairs for VBS. They just start coming out and coming out and coming out. And so we sit down at this table with him. And so we began talking with him and just finding out, well, like, what do you ask somebody, you know? So we were just trying to have, like, small talk. So it was about a half an hour into our conversation, and we were like, wow, it was great to see you, and, well, what else do you say? And so then as we go to leave, I go to the main door, and there was a guard standing there, and he's like, where do you think you're going? Oh, well, we're done seeing him. Oh, no, visitation's 3 hours, so you need to go back where you were. Okay, so we had to spend the next 2.5 hours just like having conversation with this guy that I knew, but I know that he is going to serve life after life sentence, and he will end up dying there in prison. That's his faith. And so why I share that this morning is that when we look at this passage of Scripture today, we're going to be challenged with the question, really, who's going to master us? Who's going to control our lives? And what are the things that we continue to allow ourselves to be imprisoned by? And so if you're following along your outline today, what I want to say is this, is that we are who God says we are. That's what we want to understand today. We are who God says we are. Okay? And why I say that, it's twofold. Because before a relationship with Jesus Christ, God says to us we are separated from Him. We have learned throughout our Roman series that sin separates us from God. And that at the end of all things, if we say no to Him, it's eternal separation from Him. And see, you and I were imprisoned without parole. Not only that, the opposite is true. When we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, God calls us bound to Him. We are His child. We are a part of His family. We were freed from the bondage of sin. And not only that, we choose now to live a life that is for God's honor. Because we learn that once we have been freed from the bondage of sin, now this is a voluntary act that each day we say, God, I'm going to live for You. But there's those things that want to enslave us, that want to imprison us, to say, this is the way to live. And it always leads to chaos. But see, I know even in my own life, sometimes I continue to imprison myself with the very things that Christ has set me free from. Whatever that may be. And I don't know about you, but then I become a slave to that thing. But the opposite is true, and the hope and the gospel says that we've been given the gift of freedom by God's grace. And see, living as a slave of God is not a punishment. It's a reward. It's a reward because we are being faithful to our master, who is Jesus Christ. So as we look at this passage of Scripture today, we're coming to a close in chapter 6. And Paul reminds the people, what you once were, you're not that anymore. You have been set free. You see, slavery was common in that day and time. And even today, we have slavery that's around the world, and it's not a good thing. But what Paul goes on to say is that there's two types of slaves that we're going to talk about today, or two types of servants, bond servants, that we're going to look at. We're going to look at the benefits at what a slave of God is, and we're going to see what the end result is of a slave to sin. And he closes out chapter 6 by reiterating the gift of God that is found through Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles today, let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 23. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 23. In verse 15, Paul begins, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know? That when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." And so Paul, again, he's saying, listen, there's some contrast going here in this passage of Scripture. Slave to sin, slave of righteousness. Of God. And so for the next few moments, I want to take this time together as we look at what does this really mean for us? What does it look like to have things master us? What does it mean for us to choose a life that is set apart for God? And so we're going to take the next few moments and talk about you're not the boss of me. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had your kids say that? Like, you're not my boss. You're not going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to do my thing. Nobody here? Okay, I must be the only parent, right? Thanks, Alan. I appreciate that. But we do that, don't we? We're rebellious. We're like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I know how to do that, and so on and so on. But yet what we want to look at today is how we can tell the sin that so easily entangles us that you're not the boss of me. It's God who is the boss of me. It's like this e-card that I found online. Nathan, if you could put that up. It's not there? Oh, man, I thought I had it in there. Well, I found this e-card, and it had this kid with his hands crossed, and he's like, you're not the boss of me, ... sometimes, you know? And that's how we get, right? Sometimes we begin to justify the things that we do, and we say, God, you know, you're not the boss of me in this area of my life. You're the boss of me when I show up for church, or when I'm listening to a cool Christian song, or when I read my Bible, or we tell sin, you're not the boss of me sometimes because, you know what, I can handle these things that I do or the thought process that I have. But ultimately, that's where we want to head. What does that look like? That if we have been freed from the bondage of sin, that we can tell it, you're not the boss of me. So see, what Paul did was he reminds us once again that a slave to sin leads to death. But a slave of God leads to living God's way. Not only that, it leads to eternal life. So let's take a look at this together and ask the question, so what does it look like for someone to live as if Jesus is their master? So the first thing is that we want to release who we were. Release who we were. Verses 15 through 18, Paul starts in verse 15 by asking the same question he asked in verse 1. He asks this, really, is it worth keeping up the way you were living before Christ came into your life? Really, is it really worth it? And he says, no way. There is no way. Christ has set you free from that. And what he's saying is that you don't have to be legalistic, but you don't have to live this life that you have no shame either. No way. Christ has set you free. And once again, he says, you and I, who have said yes to a relationship with Jesus, we're bound to Christ. Sin is no longer our master. It tells us that we will stop doing those things that we keep doing or we used to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I know there's times that that comes back, okay? It comes back. With our daughter driving, as I told you before, which she's doing a fabulous job. So we're going into Walmart the other day. And so she was driving and she pulled over and I said, listen, how about I drop you off and I'll go park because she still can't drive by herself. She said, okay. Well, what dad does all the time when I drop her off at places, I'll just crawl over from the passenger seat to the driver's seat. Well, I started to crawl over and she didn't see me doing that and she shut the door, bam, right on the top of my head. And I just said some inappropriate things that, yeah, I did, okay? But what I'm saying is this, is that I chose to do so. But see, now that I understand that I'm bound to Christ, I said, God, you know what? That's not who I am anymore. Would you please forgive me? Because before, I would do those types of things and not even worry about it. No big. And that's what we're saying here. Release who you were. And the truth of the matter is, like for all of us, there are things that are biding for our attention. There is always going to be something that masters us. See, the world is going to offer us things each and every day. It's all in our faces. You know, I thought about Miss Kansas from Miss America pageant. She said, I'm going to be the first Miss America contestant that'll show my tattoos. I'm an individual. I'm going to be myself. But then they found a study that said people her age, 40% of them, male and female, have tattoos. So really, you're not being you're individualistic. You're just doing what everybody else is doing. You want to be individual, maybe do something that the world will say you're making a difference. So that's what we're saying. There's always something that wants to master us each and every day. But here's the thing. It's how you and I respond to those things that we're offered. It's how we respond to them. You know, one of the big things that I know masters me sometimes is a cell phone, folks. Yeah, everybody's quiet now, but listen, have you ever had those times where you're talking to somebody and then you're like, hold on, gotta take a call. You know what I mean? Have you ever done that? I have, guilty. But let me tell you this story. So I'm in Giant, in the parking lot again, another parking lot story, but I had dropped Tina off and I'm waiting for her to come out. And there was a woman in the parking lot walking in the middle of the aisle doing this. Now she had a hat on so she couldn't see up, so she's doing this. I'm just watching, and a car's coming the other way. So the car stops. She literally walks into the car. Guy just shaking his head. He looks at me. I'm just laughing. And she was scared. Like, why are you there? Like, it was his fault for being there because she wasn't paying attention. But, you know, we laugh at that, but it could be cell phones. But, you know, maybe for some of us that it may be, you know, I have to have the latest, greatest thing. And if it empties my bank account, that's okay. This is the norm. This is what I do. I got to have it. Maybe it's our image. Maybe we say I have to look a certain way because everybody else is saying that's the way to be. Maybe for you, I know it's for me, people pleasing. When I was growing up, when rap was really big, oh yeah, I had it going on. You know, I didn't have the MC Hammer pants, but listen, I had a piece of cardboard and we broke dance and I was horrible. But the point is that I did what everybody else was doing. I moved to Atlanta, you know, yeehaw going on. And then I ended up buying cowboy boots and wearing a cowboy hat. You can ask my wife, she's like, woo! Yeah, so, but that's what was going on. I was a people pleaser. But it may even be deeper things. Maybe things that you do when you're alone. It may be things that is in your thought process that, well, nobody knows. This isn't hurting it. But it's bringing you and I to a path that leads to chaos and destruction. You know, I wrote this down. Jeff, what if you allow God to master you as you do the other things in your life? What if we began to allow God to master us the way we allow other things to master our lives? It's not saying that we have to get rid of everything and move to an isolated area. It's just saying that how do I have balance? And how do I allow these things not to control me? But by God's power, I control them. You know, when you and I ask the question about, well, releasing who we were, how do we do this? How do we really do this? Well, let's live with no regrets. Let's live a no-regret life. Because, see, when we give in to who we were, we end up hurting, empty, lonely, sometimes purposeless. You know, that's called insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and hoping to expect different results. I know, I've been there. But, see, for you and I, when we turn our backs on who we are grateful that God showed us a different way of living through Jesus Christ. When we turn our backs on who we were, we have a right attitude living life. We're right with God. We've been made right with Him through His Son, and we live a life of devotion to Him. That's how we release who we were. So the question for you and I is really, what or who? When I say who, it may be someone in your life that as soon as they open their mouth and say something to you, you just jump. And you just go. You change things. You become someone who you're not. What or who has control of your life that's leaving you out of control? What or who has control of your life that's leaving you out of control? The Bible says in Psalm 119, 133, it says, "Guide my steps as you promised, and don't let any sin control me." If we come to a place to release who we were, we ask God, "God, show me what or who has control of my life." And when He begins to show us those things, don't fight Him. Fight with Him. Don't fight Him. Fight with Him. We're going to learn that in chapter 7 when we get into the idea that we have been set free to fight the good fight. Chapter 7 even says, you know, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. It's like this, whoa, you know, it's a tongue twister. But fight with God. Don't fight against Him. Trust that God will look after you. Pattern your life after Christ. That means you have to get in His Word to see what Christ's life was like. Not only that, keep your focus honed in on a life that is now bound to Him. So for you and I, living like Jesus is our master, It begins with releasing who we were. The second is this, is that we embrace who we're becoming. We embrace who we're becoming. In verses 19 through 23, Paul continues with two types of slaves. And what he's telling us is that if you offer yourself to both at the same time, it doesn't work. We can't be neutral. We can't say, I want to be a slave to sin in this area of my life, and I want to be a slave of God in this area of my life. It doesn't do this. It does this. It will always fight against one another. Why? Because we are told in Scripture that there's the kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of darkness fighting for your soul each and every day and each and every moment. See, as a slave of sin, what Paul wants us to know is that we had no desire to live for God, period. No thank you. You can keep God, I'll do my own thing. But yet, as a slave of God, our lives have been set apart for His purposes in the world. And His purpose is that we would glorify Him, show the world His greatness, that He gets the credit, that He gets the honor, that He gets the praise in and through our lives. And when that happens, when you and I say yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's a process of sanctification that begins. And that word sanctification tells us that God is cleaning us up to look like Him in every aspect of our lives. That's what it is. See, when we embrace who we're becoming, God says, I am in the restoration process of you. I see you through my Son. He is your master. You are His servant in this world. In verse 20, Paul tells his listeners, and he tells you and I, you were, past tense, you were a slave to sin. Before Christ, you were. You used to offer yourselves to the things that led to destruction. Now those things that lead to destruction, offer them to God. Not only that, he says that there's no benefit to living as a slave to sin. There's no good end. Not only that, the benefit of living as a slave of God is that we live for God here now and we'll live with Him later forever. See, it's being challenged to say, what does it look like to live like, God, I want to live for your kingdom. I want to live for you on earth as it is in heaven. It's the opportunity for you and I to make Jesus great each and every day and each and every turn. You know, Paul said, you know, there's things that you used to do that you would be ashamed to do now. And I think of my own life, that there are things like from the Walmart incident, I was ashamed that I did that. And I said, God, this is not who I am anymore. Help me at each and every turn. Listen, I'm not saying we don't have to be legalistic about this, but we understand it's His grace that says, I want what you want, God. And I want to embrace who you've created me to be. Set apart for you. So how do we do this? Well, I'll say live 622. Live 622. This is the theme verse for our youth ministry, and I want to read it again to us this morning. Verse 22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. See, our students, we made wristbands that say slave 622. That's who our master is. Jesus has control of our lives. We want to continue to grow in Him. We want to become more like Him so that we will celebrate Him forever when this time on earth is done. Live 622. See, when we embrace who we're becoming, we will honestly and wholeheartedly submit ourselves to God. When we embrace who we're becoming, we will refocus our priorities with God's plan for our lives. And when we embrace who we're becoming, we'll pursue to live a life that is pleasing to Him. So really the question for you and I is that what do we need to do in our lives to have out of this world faith? What do we need to do in our lives to have out of this world faith? The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:16, live as free people. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Don't fake it. Be who God created you to be. In whatever area of life that you say, God, I have been faking it. I have been covering up the blemishes, the scars, the brokenness, the sin. Call it for what it really is. As we learned in our last series starting point, God hates sin. He doesn't hate people. He created them. He hates the sin of this broken world. That's what he's saying. Live 622. When we embrace who we're becoming, we humbly come to God and we say, God, my desire is to become more like you. Here's my life. Whatever that looks like, whether it's at my job, on my school campus, as a spouse, as a parent, as a friend, whatever it may be, whatever arena we're in, I'm yours. Get involved with the process of transformation. Get involved in God's process of transformation. He's willing. He wants us to be a part of the work that he's doing. And if you're here with Hope Student Ministries, hopefully you'll help me and say it as loud as you can. You get out of it what you... That's right. You get out of it what? All right, thank you. Let's try that all together. You ready? You get out of it what? That's right. So get involved with God's process of transformation. And remember that we have been set free. We've been given a gift. So we started out by saying that if Jesus is going to be the one that is master of our lives, we release who we were. You and I, as followers of Christ, have been freed from the bondage of sin. We make the choice to go back to who we were. And second, we embrace who we're becoming. We're becoming more like him each and every day. That's another choice as well. So we can either choose to be a slave to sin or a slave of God. You know, when we had the 3 hours in the prison, there was another whistle that went off. And so all the inmates went back behind the tarp, and they left. And they left. They kept going and going. And we had to wait at the tables. And then they finally, another whistle blew, and they told us that we could stand up, and we went out. We went out the same way that we came. And as we all got out, that big, large crowd of people, the doors just went, boom, shut. And it was at that time when I was leaving the prison, it was a really sobering experience. And I said to myself, I don't ever want to commit a crime. Like, there is no way, I could not survive a day in here. I'd be the guy the first day, he'd be crying, you know? That'd be me. But when I think about that time, and I think about my friend who will never leave that prison, he never has a chance for parole. His punishment has been given. And I think about the table here today. And when I think about the table that we prayed about partaking in this morning, I think about if I was standing before God as judge of my life and understanding that I deserve punishment. I deserve God's judgment. I deserve God's wrath. But what I deserve and what I was given are two different things. You see, what God did is he sent his son into the world. And his son said to the world, he said, I have come that you may have life. That you would have a life that is full in me. And some say, whoo, we are on that. You are the one we have been waiting for. And others said, no, thank you. And others said, you need to die. Because you said that you're the Son of God. That's a joke. And when I think of this communion table, I think about Jesus. And he said to me and to you, he said, I will take on your punishment. I will pay for your crimes. And he went to a cross. And when he went to that cross, he did it all for love. It was by God's grace and mercy that Jesus hung. And when we think about the table today and what Christ has done for us, you may have to ask yourself today, where am I living out of control? What things or what people who are in my life that every time I have the opportunity to do, I do? But maybe today is the time to reflect and say, God set me free. I have been made right with God. That is not who I am anymore. But the beauty of God's grace and the beauty that was in the pain on the cross is that by the power of God, Christ rose again. I'll say that again. Jesus rose again from the dead. And that same power that rose Christ from the dead, it's the same power that can help you overcome and give you victory in your life over the sin that so easily gets us into trouble, leads us to catastrophe, and ultimately leads to disaster. Here today at the communion table, the question is, where do you need to begin to live out of this world? Where do you need to begin to live out of this world? Where do you need to begin to embrace who God wants to continue to work in your life? That's why we come to the table. When Jesus said it is finished, he wasn't joking. When Jesus raised from the dead, he said, I'm going to be back. I will return. But in that time, I want you to remember what I've done for you. Not only that, I want you to strive each and every day with my help to live a life that is pleasing to my Father. Don't let the things of the world master you. I died for you. And today, you may not have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's what I'll say. I'll ask that you pass the cracker. I'll ask that you pass the juice, because really, if you're to partake in this, it's just drinking juice and eating a cracker. But today, maybe you realize that you have been out of control. Your life is chaotic. But you realize today that it's Christ who has set you free. And you want to live as a slave of God. It's not a punishment, it's a reward. If that's where you are today, I don't want you to wait. I want you to come and speak to myself or one of the elders about what it means to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. For those of us who are followers of Jesus and we are going to take communion, maybe you ask those same questions to yourself. I know I've been made right with God, but where am I living out of control? I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward this morning as we take this time to commune with God, to take this time to reflect upon what he's done for you and for me. On the last night that Jesus was with his disciples, he said, what's about to happen is going to change everything. The crimes that have been committed up to this point, I'm going to pay for on the cross. And he said, the bread that I'm breaking, it represents my body. It's going to be broken for you. And he said that the blood that's going to be shed is going to be the blood of a new covenant. Things are changing. There is opportunity for parole through me by my Father's grace. So he took the bread. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And Jesus did the same with the cup. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. close this morning, I'm going to ask that you stand with me. I want to read the passage in Romans chapter 6, verse 22. And it says, "But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Thanks be to God." We are who God says we are. So let's who we were with God's help and embrace who we're becoming so that we can live in out of this world faith for Him. Father, we come to you this morning and we say that it's because of you that we have life. But God, we do say that there are things in our lives, and whether it's action, whether it's the external things or the internal things, God, we need your help to say to sin, "You're not the boss of me." God, show us the areas of our lives where we're telling you, "You're not the boss of me." And I pray today, God, that we would truly put these things into action, that we would truly be involved with the process of the transformation of our hearts and of our lives. God, we need you. And it's you, God, that we say we want to live for. God, help us implement that so that we may have out of this world faith for you. It's for your honor. It's for your great name. And all God's people said, amen.